Married at First Sight back tonight, 7:30 on Nine. Everyone watching MAFS as always, and one of the most controversial figures in MAFS this season is Michael. He's the stirrer at the dinner party. He's the partner of Hayley, and he joins us in studio right here on the Fox.
Now, Michael, let's talk about last night's episode of MAFS, the bombshell that was dropped at the end. David, Hayley's partner, had this to say.
There's a few little rumours that I've heard.
Hayley and Michael have gone out to Darling Harbour, and I was told that Hayley is making out with Michael. My darling wife is making out with another husband.
Wow.
Michael, please explain. How did this happen?
Elaborate. I thought I had another. I honestly thought I had another week before this episode was coming out. So I had to sort of move house and everything. It's been a bit of a nightmare. Look,
with Hayley or
shit. I'll explain it pretty clear. I wasn't going to ruin it all for you because it's a good show. You know, I think you've had too many spoilers. So
well, she's already told us that you were together.
Yeah, she's everyone. Telling everyone that we had a wee kiss there. But look, I'll be honest with you, Fev's going to understand this really well. I was absolutely sloshed.
We went out
with a few drinks. We went out for a few drinks, and we went out with another couple and that. And we did. We went out. We weren't in Darling Harbour.
It doesn't matter where you were, mate.
I know. It's probably worse if you're behind closed doors. But we're in a room with Chris and Vanessa, and we're bevying on there. We're mucking around. We're dancing on each other. Just juvenile, silly, sort of childish behaviour that overtook us that night. And then it came out that, Michael, like there was rumours obviously flying around, as you can imagine, in that sort of hornet's nest. You say one thing and it just travels around like Chinese whispers. So, all went round. And then Dave's like, oh my God, like, you know, you've hooked up with Hayley. And then you'll see it all tonight. I barge into Dave's room and a kid, like, go, what are you talking about? Like, you're off your head, you know, like, what the hell are you going on about? And, the whole thing sort of unfolds in it.
And you also quickly denied it.
Yes.
You quickly denied it.
Real quick.
Let's hear Hayley blowing up.
You blame me.
But when Hayley and Michael...
You macked on with me, sweetheart. You did it. Man up.
...recount differing versions of the event in question...
So, obviously there's allegations, but what happened that night?
The group is shaken.
There's something in my gut telling me that she's telling the truth.
It's his word against hers. I am worried my marriage could potentially be over.
Now, you are a bit of a child. You are a lad. Now, did you man up?
That's rich.
Well, you just said it yourself.
Look, I did. You're going to see completely to the end of it. You're going to see completely at the end of the series. You will get the full truth. The full truth is coming, and you will see it. So without me giving away too much, I guarantee you.
Did you pass her or not?
I didn't pass her. No.
You didn't pass her?
No.
Why would
she
say that?
It was a confusing movement when we were going through. I was absolutely blind. I'd love to say I recalled the whole event. I don't. But why would she say that you passed
when she's with someone else? Why would she say that?
Well, I have no idea why she said that we passed when she was with someone else, because at the end of the day, that was what she originally said to me, that we didn't pass, and then she changed her story.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. So when I originally confronted her and go, mate, what happened last night? Did we actually hook up? And she goes, no, gross, no. And I was like, oh.
So you actually didn't know because you were so drunk.
I was absolutely legless, like absolutely
captive. So she's a liar.
Yeah, okay.
Somewhere we found out some truths about Hayley. I mean, hey, it's not the first time she's lied, is it? So let's go through her track record. Let's go through mine. I mean, we don't need a court of law to work out the innocence here.
Oh, wow. Jeez, I've got so much, but I don't know where to go. It's so rude of us not to ask, but we haven't even, how's your wife going, Stacey?
Oh, she's going well. She's going really well.
We haven't even asked him about his own life.
Yeah, I know. I thought that. I was like, gosh, she's going to get home and she's going to kick my ass if I haven't mentioned her. So I hope you're okay there, darling.
You're obviously not together anymore because she's with Mickey. Old 10 seconds.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if she's with Mickey or what's going on there. I mean, I've been in Melbourne, so I'm going back
Hayley?
To Adelaide. So
I was in Adelaide yesterday.
How did you feel,
you're
Michael?
Talk of the town.
Watching back the episode at the wedding when she very quickly became interested in you because of her friend's Googling to find out that you were a man of money. How did you feel watching that back?
That was actually a bit hard. I'll be straight with you. That was hard. It was like I was watching that and I'm having a good old time. And then it just comes up and I was... It was. It was a bit confronting. It was like, wow, like in this day and age, like, who's like that? Do you know what I mean? Like, that is not a nice person to be. But look, genuinely, I think we did, after the honeymoon, we sort of got to know each other. And
did you? She didn't want to borrow you until she knew you had money, and then she loved you, and you were wrapped.
And then you kept disappearing and getting
you
on the turps.
Wrapped.
You constantly kept going out and getting drunk all the time.
She
as
wanted
well.
The cash.
Marriage of the century. Disaster.
Anyway, we can't stop watching. We'll be watching again
so
tonight. Married at First Sight is tonight at 7:30 on Nine. Of course,
Willie man up tonight.
Wow, this is the thing, Fief. Any other exclusives you want, Fief, before we get Michael out of here?
No, I think this has been fabulous.
Hey, Foxy, I heard that he's been coming to Melbourne to visit Hayley down in Port Melbourne.
Michael, anything you'd like rumors? To add?
Is that the rumours? I actually, I don't think Hayley would like me very much as a house guest, to be quite honest.
Michael, we actually have Hayley on the show tomorrow. Is there any message you'd like to leave for her?
She want me to write like a little note for her.
write a note for her, and then we'll give it to her tomorrow. We promise we won't open it, and we won't read it.
Just write, stay,
on the thing.
Just write stay or leave on
we'll
it.
We'll have a laugh. Yeah.
Okay, there we go. That is tomorrow. Hayley will be
Thanks,
on the show.
Man.
Thanks for coming in, Michael.
Not a worry, guys. Appreciate you having me.
101.9 The Fox.
We are standing by, literally as we speak, putting the call through to this superstar. You'll obviously know her from hilarious films, Bridesmaids, Pitch Perfect 2, where she was Fat Amy. And this is going to be massive. 7:30 on 7 tomorrow night. Pooch Perfect.
It's just like a real fashion show, but our models actually like food.
What are we going to do after the show, Ross? Do you want to see a movie or something? Like one starring me? No. You know, maybe I should force you to watch Cats again.
Good gear.
Yeah, we didn't mention Cats there in the... But it's been a cult classic, hasn't it, Fief? I mean, Cats has been great.
Yes, and can we welcome to the show Rebel Wilson. Rebel, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Fifi. Hi, Seth. Hi, Byron. How's it going, guys?
Good, Rebel.
Oh, it's great. We're so excited about this, Pooch Perfect. I mean, Rebel, tell us about when you first heard about the show and your reaction to getting the chance to host it.
Well, originally it was called Snip Doggy Dog when Channel 7 kind of came to me about it. I didn't know they were going to, like, try to, you know, rip off my musical comedy franchise, Pitch Perfect. although I still think Pitch Perfect is a pretty, you know, it's a pretty funny play on words.
Yes, great.
But, yeah, so they came to me and I was actually in two minds about it because it brings up a lot of memories with the dogs because I grew up in a dog showing family and was a junior handler myself at dog shows for like the first 12 years of my life. It was like very dorky. And my family made money from selling pet products out of a caravan. And so it just brought up a lot of Bogan memories for me. And also because I'm allergic to dogs.
Yes, that's a strange thing, Dad.
Made my childhood even more fun. I know.
Do you have like a jab? Do you do the jab? Because my daughter's allergic to animals as well. She's allergic to dogs. How do you get around that?
Yeah, I just normally take Claritin when I'm around.
But that puts you to sleep.
Yeah, no wonder I didn't do much as a child because I was like...
sleep a whole childhood.
but I get like headaches a bit when I'm around them. So like during filming, like the fur would go in my face and just like in my eyes and stuff as the contestants are cutting the dog's hair. And I just got to get through this. Like just try to keep smiling.
Just take a Claritin and have a nap.
Yeah. The other day, like, at the end of the day, I'll say, oh, my God, like, I kind of fell in love with dogs in this show because they're so cute and these makeovers that the groomers give the dogs, like, it's just so cute. And I find myself, like, even though, you know, I've got a bit of a complex about dogs because of my childhood, but I'm just like, oh, my God, like, they're so amazing. And so it was all good. It wasn't as bad as what I thought it was going to be.
And Rebel, so for people who aren't aware of the concept, so each episode, challenges take place in the Pooch Palace, which I love, which is like a Disneyland for dogs. And now 10 professional pet stylists, they're essentially playing for the $100,000 at the end, which is a very handy prize.
Yeah.
Now, these are 10 pet stylists. I didn't even know this was a thing. Like, I didn't know pet styling was a profession.
Here's the thing, Fifi. Like, okay, so all around globally, like, these dog grooming competitions have become a huge thing. And sometimes it's just about grooming the dog to their breed standards, or sometimes it's like turning the dog into a crazy other looking animal or a teddy bear or something. And like, it's really popular growing all around the world. And, you know, there's some really talented pet stylists in Australia. So we were like the first people to do a TV show about it. But basically, yeah, it's like a reality dog grooming show. And the stylists have to do different challenges each episode. But some of them are like a really difficult, like if you imagine your pet dog at home and like trying to make them stand still and get them, you know, and make them do stuff for like 3 hours.
Yeah. Fifi's got a dog called Lizzie Rosie Box, and that doesn't listen to anything.
Well, Lizzie Rosie Cookie Box, and she's a very difficult rebel.
Needs training. Yeah.
Now, Rebel, with the dogs, they get groomed, but is it about the strut as well? Because if you've got a really groomed dog and it just walks funny and lazy, or is it all about, like, you know, when the horses do they prance? No, because I see pooches and I'm like, what a strut.
I don't know if it's a catwalk, is it? I mean, is it a...
Is there a gymkhana?
Well, we couldn't call it the catwalk because...
It's called a dog walk, Byron.
It's called the dog walk in our show. And then I get up there and kind of commentate a bit. The dogs come out and say whatever.
Left, right.
We have to show sounds so ridiculous. We have to watch it. This is unbelievable.
And then the dogs strut their stuff on the dog walk. And then people get eliminated. Although I kept getting the word eliminated confused with euthanized.
Right.
And I kept saying, someone's about to be euthanized. And I'm like, oh, hang on.
Be very careful with your wording. Look, it's going to be a great show. We're all going to be watching Rebel Wilson. Okay. To have Rebel on Aussie TV is fantastic.
Yes.
Pooch Perfect is the premiere tomorrow night at 7:30 on 7 with the legend herself, Rebel Wilson. Thanks for making time for the show this morning, Fifi, Fev and Byron. Thanks, Rebel.
Thanks, guys. And it's really original. And it's just, oh, my God, it's so cute, this show. So I hope everyone appreciates it.
We'll be watching Rebel.
101.9 The Fox. The Fox.
We're doing our bit for the Chinese community in Melbourne who are suffering because Little Chinatown particularly is not being frequented by people having lunch, having dinner in the restaurants. There's a thing called coronavirus anxiety, and it's not warranted in Little Chinatown. Little Bourke Street is a great place to walk. You know, this morning, if you're on your way to work, walk through. Maybe not this morning because the restaurants aren't open. Go and get your lunch there. And get your dinner there. Great. We're getting people back. Tomorrow morning we'll be broadcasting live from the Crystal Jade restaurant in what we are calling our Chow Down in Chinatown. Chow Down. Get your stir-fried beef, boy. Cuisine from the
east, boy. Join us for a feast down in Chinatown. Yeah, we'll be in place from 6 a.m. at the Crystal Jade restaurant. Chinese tea for everyone. Yum cha. $5,000 will be inside of a fortune cookie as well, Fief.
That's right. We've got $5,000 in a fortune cookie. Come and visit. Grab yourself a cookie and you might get the $5,000. Just our little way of bringing people back to Chinatown. Now, Fev, I've got some little Chinese facts in my hand here that I think will amaze you while we're discussing all things Chinese. Did you know, speaking of the fortune cookie, fortune cookies are not a traditional Chinese custom. They were actually invented in San Francisco.
Were they?
How's that?
By a Chinese man?
Can you believe it? Well, probably were probably American Chinese. I imagine they were an American Chinese shop and went, let's make these cookies. And now everyone around the world has fortune cookies, assuming they're a Chinese tradition. Not the case.
This is not helping.
Dim sum.
Yes.
Is actually Cantonese for touch your heart. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, that is beautiful.
I love that.
They touch my heart when I eat them.
This is an interesting fact. It's not food related, but this is a bit scary. If your parents in China are over 60 years old, it's illegal to not visit them regularly. You could be put in jail for not visiting Ange and Kaza. Can you believe that if you lived in China?
Kaza's not over 60 yet. So I wouldn't go to jail.
No, you're right. Sorry. And my apologies, Kaza. I didn't mean I meant one day. One day.
Ange's over.
When one day when your parents are older, well, you could
visit,
be.
I don't visit Ange.
Often. Well, I'm just saying.
I'd go to jail.
You'd be in jail right now. Wow. Isn't that an amazing law?
It's incredible.
Chinese culture, and how's this? Because often when you go to a Chinese restaurant, I, for a long time, was one of those patrons who would say, can I just get a knife and fork, please? Can't do the chopsticks. Well, you might not have realised how offensive that would be to someone in China because they consider a knife and fork a weapon. So that's the equivalent of saying, can I have some nunchucks with my dinner?
Thank you, Pete. That's a real education for us in the lead up to tomorrow morning. Unless you had some more facts. I mean, these are great.
I was done.
Okay. 14 minutes past 7. Chow down in Chinatown tomorrow morning.
The greatest fact is always at the end.
Oh, yeah. She went out with a great thing.
If you got a high, out your pop.
As a wise man once said, from Chinatown, at Chip Hop.
The Fox.
101.9 The Fox.
Here they are, the stories of the Fevolution. Oh, there are heaps of stories. Stories from the Fevolution.
Oh, the man full of stories, Feef. And sometimes we just sort of sit around the campfire and he indulges us, doesn't he?
He does. I love a Fevolution story. I'm kicking back, Fev.
Who would have thought after 4 years of doing this segment, I've still got more? And I got plenty. I got plenty sitting there. And it got me thinking, Boxy. We were just talking to Michael from Mass earlier today, and he made an excuse there. He was drunk when he passed Haley. And I thought...
Doesn't remember it.
Doesn't remember it. And it got me thinking, gosh, the amount of times I've been drunk and can't remember. But it got me to a point where I made a drunken promise. And I remember when I proposed to Alex, which I was drunk doing that too.
please tell me you remember that.
Yeah, no, I do remember it. But I got excited because you have to have groomsmen. And I had a lot of people that were pretty close to me. And when I was playing, obviously playing footy, so I had a couple of footy players, had a best mate, had another best mate. And I was out one night with one of these blokes and I was really drunk. And I was just like, oh, I just got to make him feel good, you know. So I asked him to be one of my groomsmen. But I didn't really want him as a groomsman.
Do you know who he is? Can you drop his name?
No. It won't be nice. But there's only five of them, so they can pick and... But what happened was I'd already picked the other four, and I was going to tell this other mate who was a really good mate of mine. His name's Shane, but he missed out because he was going to be a groomsman. But because I'd already told this other guy when I was drunk... But then the next day I was going to say to him, oh, mate, I was only joking. But he, as we're having a coffee, he said, oh, my God, I'm so pumped. I can't wait for the wedding. This is great that I'm a groomsman. I'd gone too far. Like, I couldn't take it back. So therefore, I just ran with it. And I don't even really speak to this guy anymore. But, yeah, he missed out. And then the other guy, Shane, who was going to be a groomsman, I don't think he's ever let me forget about it. Because he's like, I grew up with this guy. And... I wanted him to be a groomsman, and then when he got married, he didn't have me as a groomsman.
No.
He was like, nah, unlucky loosh.
Payback.
Yeah. Drunken promises.
Poof. Yes.
Made a few.
Any
and
others?
Regret, oh, mate, I regret all of them.
Here they are, the stories of the Fevolution. Oh, there are heaps of stories. Stories from the Fevolution.
But there's a difference, Boxy.
Yeah, what's the difference?
I'm not like Michael. I manned up and I owned it.
Well, then name
Michael
the guy.
Michael didn't own it.
Well, then name the guy. And who's the guy of the five of them?
Ah, Byron. Shush.
101.9 The Fox.
Yes, and tomorrow we'll be broadcasting from Chinatown, Little Bourke Street. We're getting behind all the Chinese restaurants that are suffering there at the moment because of coronavirus anxiety. And while we're there, we're going to have a fortune cookie, one lucky fortune cookie with $5,000 in it. So if you get that, you're $5,000 richer. And Brendan Favola will be attempting to break a Guinness World Record.
Yes.
Consuming, or how many, we're going to see how many dumplings you can consume in 60 seconds to beat the 10 that have been consumed in the world record.
It doesn't seem that hard, does it, 10?
Well, you know what? Maybe world records aren't that hard, Fev, because okay. Another Guinness World Record in the news today goes to another Australian, an Australian woman in Queensland.
Well done.
She has seen the movie Bohemian Rhapsody, the Queen movie,
yep.
108 times. She sent off her ticket stubs because she saw it at the cinema. She sent off the ticket stubs to Guinness, the Book of World Records, and they've confirmed you. They've told her you've now set a world record.
Well, I reckon if she watched it 50 times, she would have sent a world record because it was only out last year.
It's amazing.
Well, yeah, no, 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 no. See, I don't think this is an amazing feat.
Yeah, I don't think it is
to watch a movie 108 times. There are so many movies I've watched 100. I've watched 200 times.
Yeah. On the couch, maybe. She went to the cinemas 108 times, didn't she? That's pretty, that's amazing.
Okay, well, that's...
I don't think she went to the cinemas 108 times. There's not enough days in a year.
Actually, she did actually go 108 times. And then she said, yeah, then she got the DVD in last February, and since then she's watched it 291 times.
This is unbelievable. Gee, you're hard to impress.
No, I just feel like, I've Love Actually, when that was released, I mean, I would have watched Love Actually 500 times.
Oh, really?
Like, no. I can.
Do you know I've never seen that film?
Are you kidding?
I have to watch it.
Oh, Fev. But do you remember, Fev, when you were, like, when I was a kid, we, my brothers and I, every day after school, we'd come home and we'd watch the Blues Brothers movie and Trading Places.
Yeah.
With Eddie Murphy, and we memorized every lyric from those movies. Watching a movie every day, I don't think is that unusual.
I think it is, like, highly unusual.
I used to watch Victoria versus South Australia 1995 State of Origin every day.
Seriously?
I did.
The same game.
See? It was when EJ did the Lap of Honour. It was 25 years ago, and they had all the pre-game where he'd go up, because he was blind,
yeah,
and he'd go up and speak to all the players, and they'd be like, all my people I idolized. And they had the music, and then I'd watch the game, and then I'd press play again.
Wow.
I used to watch it all the time.
That's beautiful. I mean, I love that, Fevan. But see, I'm not surprised by that. I think this is quite generous to get 108 times. For me, doesn't feel like a lot of times to rewatch
something.
Come on. It's just someone that's got not much to do.
Like, yeah.
If you're at home and that's all you had,
you just
watch
really liked a movie.
Yeah.
I often watch, like, The Office when The Office was released, the original one. I would have watched that, and what there were like 6 episodes per series.
Mm.
I would have watched them every night for about a year. I know every word.
I reckon I watched Days of Thunder. Oh, God, how many times have I watched that? I reckon I watched that 300 times.
See, I reckon you guys are highly unusual.
I don't think we are.
And obviously this world record breaker, she's
Forrest
extreme.
Gump.
How many times?
Oh, God. Who knows?
See, they're called ruts. It's a film
rut.
It is
a massive
You can
film
find
rut.
Yourself in a film rut where you just, it's your go-to and you can't stop. And it's almost comforting. It's a comfort. You go, oh, watch that again. Makes me feel good. So I just don't think she's that special. 108.
I've watched a certain DVD boxy that many times it doesn't work anymore. I have. 2007 Carlton versus Essendon.
Yourself.
A full forward kicked 8 in the second half.
All right, so 13, 10, 60. Let's keep it mainly to films. We're not going to beat 108.
Just beat it.
How many Love Actuallys, Feef?
Easily half a 500. Easily.
That's amazing. That is.
But that's over about 15 years. I've had a run up.
All right.
I'd love to know the movies. I'd love to know what films got you into a film rut.
Okay. All right.
But look, if you've got the number of how many times you've seen them, we'll pass it on to Guinness.
13, 10, 60.
1019. The Fox.
Well, an Australian has broken a Guinness Book of Records. She has a world record. And Feef, you're not that impressed by it.
Well, no, 108 times. To see the Queen movie, Bohemian Rhapsody. I reckon I watched it twice on the plane when we were going to Tokyo. Like, I'm just saying, 108, that's... And if she didn't have much to do and she didn't have a job, you got that a couple of times a day. I get in film ruts, that's all I'm saying. I know what that's like.
Okay, well, look, plenty of calls have come through on this. Apparently, it's not that unusual to watch the same movie over and over and over again, guys.
The phones have blown up, Boxy.
Fev, you agree? You can get into it, right?
Yeah, mate, I agree. And I'm going to be going for a Guinness Book of Records record on tomorrow for dumplings. And if I don't get it, I can beat this one easy, 108. I've got a nice pass from Village. I'm going to go down there every day, get a ticket, not watch it, 109 times, commit, and then send the tickets in, and that I'll break that record.
There he goes. Well done. We've got a few here, though. People, Feef, getting into these film ruts.
Yes, Natasha from Doncaster East. Hi, Natasha.
Hey, Feefe. How you going?
Good, Natasha. Have you been in a film rut?
Just a little bit. A bit of
what
an
film?
Obsession with 50 Shades.
Oh.
First one. Yep.
Really? Wow. I've never seen it.
Yeah, wash 250 to 300 times easily.
Wow. 250 times.
Very raunchy.
Easily.
Boxing.
Yeah. Okay. I just would watch it every day. Put the baby to sleep. That would be like my hour and a half of chill.
Whoa.
Put it on, relax, and then good to go.
Did you watch it pre-baby?
No, not pre-baby, just post-baby when I was a bit bored at home on mat leave.
Do you know what, though, Natasha, that makes, see, a mum with a baby gets it. You've got to do something in the nap time, don't you?
I certainly do.
Mate, you watch 50 Shades of Grey Thief and then come back to us tomorrow and see and tell us what you think of it.
Yeah, watch it 250 times and then get back to us. Thank you, Natasha, for that film rut story.
Didn't expect that. Leanne in Narre Warren North. Hi, Leanne.
Hi.
Leanne, what was your film rut?
Top Gun, of course.
Yes. Just
I've seen it at least 200 times, at least.
What a
and
movie.
I get that. I totally understand that. Fev, you went into a Top Gun, right?
Oh, yeah, I would have watched that. That Days of Thunder and the 95 State of Origin, they were my childhood.
That's your three big ones?
They were my three big ones, okay. Mate.
Are you still watching it, Leanne, or is it something from the past?
No, I watch it all the time. I actually just moved in a new house with a theatre room, and I bought an original picture for the wall, which cost me an absolute bomb.
Wow. And, of course, we've got the new Top Gun movie coming out as well.
I will do anything to be at the premiere of that, absolutely anything.
We don't even get tickets to premieres anymore.
Oh, well, thank you there.
I reckon we could sort Leanne out with that.
We'll have to sack Kappa and get her.
And Lan, is it Lan in Springvale South?
Yeah, that's it.
Hey, Lan, what film got you in a film rut?
Finding Nemo, and I'm still in that rut.
Finding
Nemo?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting because of all the Disney movies, I find myself in a Moana rut from time to time.
I've been watching Finding Nemo on repeat every night for probably the last 3 years.
Len, you tell us like you're so disappointed in yourself.
Every night,
kind of embarrassing.
No, but hang on, guys. Did we process that properly? Every night for the last 3 years.
So that's like 1,000 days.
Every night, Lan. Okay, no, let's break this down. Talk us through your evening. You have dinner.
So before bed, basically, I have it playing on my phone. So before Disney Plus, I would have it downloaded and I would play it every night and I could close my eyes and watch the movie in my head, basically.
Wow. Lan, how old are you?
27.
So how long have you been doing this for? How many years?
For the last 3 years.
I get it. No, Lan, I get it. And you know what? It's a comfort, isn't it? That's a comfort to you.
Yeah, I go to sleep to it, basically.
I love it. I'm with you.
Do you have a partner?
Yes.
How's he?
He's fine, I guess.
You should maybe have a chat to him. Anyway, that's an extraordinary call.
With Lan. This is the thing. That woman went and got a Guinness Book a world record.
Yeah.
And there are heaps of us in film ruts just watching the same movie every night. Not a big deal.
10 to 8 on The Fox.
101.9 The Fox.
Of course, one of the regular contributors to our show is football icon from the 80s, Warwick Kappa.
Kappa! Every kid says it for the last 50 years.
Byron, I think you should qualify regular contributor. He's been on the show a couple of times.
Okay, for a fair point.
And we had a fallout with him. It was a feud. He called us a rude name to the Herald Sun, and we just thought, well, let's get him on to figure out what we'd done wrong. Anyway, we seem to have healed the rift. But he's in the paper again today.
Yeah, the Herald Sun like him, Boxy, because he's in there again.
Now, he's making headlines today because he is claiming that at the height of his AFL career, he had half-time relations with his wife at the time, Joanne. Now, I am referring to intimate relations. So halfway through the football game, he's gone and had a bit of alone time with his wife. Fev, you are an AFL footballer.
Yeah. Now,
how is that possible?
It's not possible, Boxy. He's telling a lie. That would never have happened. It would absolutely not have happened. He said that I used to have, you know what, in the toilets at halftime. Now they don't show any emotion, don't wear tight shorts, don't kick 100 goals, don't do handstands. I used to go out in the third quarter, I'd be tired for the first 5 minutes. I used to sit in the goal square until I got my energy back. Now, that's not true. Mate, I used to want to go out for a ciggy at halftime, and I didn't have time to do that. So how the hell could he have time to do what he wanted to do?
101.9 The Fox.
Bev, we're a proudly local show where we only talk about things that are relevant to Melburnians, yes, to get them ready for their day. We, you and I, Melbourne born and bred. Byron, a ring in from Sydney.
Well, I've been here 10 years.
No,
so
well, you're still
Melbourne's very much home.
No, it's not.
It takes a lot for me to talk about a news story out of Sydney, but this one, I have to, Fev. I think even as a Melburnian, we'll enjoy this.
Okay.
Sydney yesterday experienced what I don't even, I mean, even saying this sounds hilarious, but there was a psychotic baboon on the run outside of one of Sydney's biggest hospitals yesterday. A psychotic baboon was on the run outside of Sydney Hospital. I mean, the headline's enough for me, but I'll explain what happened. Three baboons were actually on the loose outside Sydney's busiest hospitals for more than an hour. Now, those baboons were at the hospital because the male baboon, so there was one male and two females, the male baboon was at the Royal Prince Alfred Hospital in Camperdown to have a vasectomy. He had to be accompanied by two female baboons.
Oh.
I mean, there's so much to unpack.
He knew what was coming. Of course he escaped.
I mean, Fev, yes.
Get me out of here.
Hang on.
I'm a baboon. I wanted to snip.
I'm at a hospital. What happened to the vet? Yeah, why am I not at a vet?
Snip me in the cage. Give me the green whistle.
Okay.
Not a baboon does.
I mean, you are a man. No, that's
I had the snip. I had the snip on radio. Yeah.
You've had the. You know what this psychotic baboon was going through.
I wanted to run.
Who knew that zoo animals were being taken to hospitals for humans to have vasectomies, and they've got to have two women there to accompany him? I mean,
is that just
what's going on in that surgery suite?
No. Whatever you've got to say, Feb, don't say it, please.
Don't you find that? And what has happened? So they've gone, we're taking this psychotic baboon in to have the snip, and he's what, just gone, he's become psychotic and escaped? And now these baboons are out on the streets of Sydney.
It's unbelievable footage. It's unbelievable.
I can't believe that happened.
I was reading Twitter throughout the day and people going, I've just heard reports that there's three baboons running through the city. And I thought, oh, they've let Kyle Sanderlands out. What's happened?
101.9 The Fox.
It's going to be a massive morning tomorrow on the show as we broadcast live from Chinatown.
We will be broadcasting live from the Crystal Jade Restaurant, Little Bourke Street, Chinatown, getting behind all the businesses there that are suffering because of coronavirus anxiety. And that means there's no coronavirus there, just people aren't going there because they're scared that it's there. So we're showing our support. Join us, come down, have breakfast, encourage. It's a campaign. And to get people down there, we'll also be giving away fortune cookies, and one of the fortune cookies will have $5,000 in it. How good is that?
Brought to you by San Francisco.
Fev will be, yes, fortune cookies we discovered this morning were invented in San Francisco, so not so Chinese after all.
Well, there's a huge Chinese community in San Francisco, Fev, and a very big Chinatown in San Francisco.
Thank you, Mr. American.
Now, Fev will be attempting to break a Guinness World Record, the most dumplings consumed in 1 minute by an adult human. Matt Preston, our mate Matt, will be coming to join us. If you're going to talk cuisine or be at a restaurant, why not have the highest profile, chef critic, culinary genius
foodie
in our midst?
Yeah.
Matt Preston. And I've no idea how we tie this in, but Hayley from MAFS will be there too.
Look, Hayley's very accessible at the moment, very happy to do media. And look, she's right in the middle of the MAFS storyline, and she's supporting Chinatown as well. Why not?
It's
going
to be a big night on MAFS tonight, so it'll be good to actually...
We'll get all the goss from her.
Yes, over some yum cha. It'll be amazing.
Wow. Oh, so a big night for you, Fev. Are you going to be practicing your dumpling eating? Or?
No, I practiced yesterday. So, you know, when you're trying to break records, you've got to, you know, pace yourself. And if I go today... I might overcook myself. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I'll probably go for a big long walk. I've got to think of ways to really lubricate my throat.
A tub of Vaseline.
Yes.
And vas
I might try that today, actually, Boxy.
Yeah, good.
I might vas my throat up today and see that can be a way to get around divulging 10 dumplings.
Don't try that at home, kids. That is tomorrow morning from 6 a.m. Crystal Jade on Little Bourke Street. Join us for the Chow Down in Chinatown. This is The Fox at 25 past 8. Fifi, Fev and Byron.
101.9. The Fox.
Bev, can I just take up something with you that I witnessed on your Insta stories yesterday?
Do whatever you would like.
I know, but I need to come to the defence of your wonderful mum, Kazza.
Kazza? Why?
Yeah, because yesterday you were having lunch, or was it brunch? It was quite early with her.
Yeah,
you were having sushi.
Yeah, I took her out for lunch.
And poor Kaz was just trying to enjoy her sushi, and you had the camera in her face. What you do to Alex, but I have noticed that Alex has avoided you doing that lately.
Yeah, no, she
put an end to that.
She's you do that again and you're out.
And you were, it was,
stop.
It,
stop.
You were relentless.
Yeah.
Kaz was just trying to enjoy a sushi roll.
Yeah, but she was really getting in there, and I didn't really, she couldn't really use the chopsticks. So it was really, she was like stabbing the sushi. So I just had to get her on there. But God, Kazza. So she come over Monday. It's now Wednesday and she's still there. I don't know what's going on.
What, at your house?
Yeah.
That's lovely.
That's great because the house so clean. She's gone through all the rooms, which is great. And she's cleaned everything. But I'm not quite sure what's going on. But yeah, if she stays tonight, I might have to ask some questions. But she has been staying. And I said to her, I didn't say to her, but I thought, I was just saying to you off air, Boxy, you know when your mum comes over and they stay for a long time, maybe like, should she be cooking dinner?
No, she's a guest in your house.
No, but it's my mum. Like, I want to feel like I'm a kid again. Like, I want her to cook me dinner. I was like, are you going to cook dinner? She's like, no, well, it's your house. I said, yeah, but you're my mum.
So you reckon that's for life? If your mum is.
I feel
like
it is.
If your mum's in the vicinity of a kitchen, she must cook for you.
Or dad. Or dad.
Well, out of interest, what are Kazza and Ange's go-to dishes if they are cooking for you?
Ange would go something like it'd be real easy sort of style. It'd be takeaway. And mum is she's a 2-minute noodles with chicken wings on top. I'm glad I cooked, actually.